Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Pro football, full circle.
You don't want to go down 0-2 and then have to go to Buffalo and face a very difficult Buffalo football team. What you want to be able to do is go out and play well and win a football game. And it does a couple of things for you because it is a division game. We have to go out and play our abilities, play to what we're capable of, and really play smarter than we did last week.
You got to capitalize. We're talented. We know the talent that we have. We trust the coaching staff that we have. But it's on us to go out there and capitalize. And that's offense, defense, and special team. And I feel like we're able to do that more consistent. The season's going to play out how we want to play out. So just got to go out there and capitalize it so we can be able to show our talent and show how special we can be as an offense and a team as a whole.
Week number 2 is on the horizon. Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi, Holden Kushner, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204. You heard the sound bites of Buffalo and Miami. That's a big ball game taking place in South Beach. The Dolphins are 3.5-point underdogs this weekend. We got a big game tonight between the Giants and Washington football team. Will Daniel Jones step up 4-0 all time against the Washington football team? See if he can get it done against Taylor Heineke and the crew. But more importantly, Holden, Sports Grid and FanDuel came out with this stat. First time since 1978 that seven teams are 3.5-point underdogs at home in the month of September or more. So that's the first time that that has happened since 1978. We mentioned the Dolphins. You have the Jaguars at +5.5, Jets at +5.5, Colts +3.5 against Stafford and the crew. The Eagles playing San Francisco as 3.5-point dogs. And then you follow that up with Sam Darnold with the Panthers, and then the Ravens on that Sunday night game going up against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. I'll say this, the only game that really jumps out off the page are two. The Colts +3.5, and I'm going to take Sam Darnold to knock off famous Jameis at home in Carolina.
Ooh, you're on the Colts, huh? You and I are going to be on different sides this week. I love the Rams coming in. I love what I saw out of the Rams. I don't like what I saw out of Carson Wentz, and that's where we are. Here's Wentz now, and I want to talk about this Rams game because we're on different sides. Wentz had thrown at least one interception in 6 of his last 9 games before last week. What happened last week? He played it safe. They played it safe against Seattle. You can't do that and win football games. Wentz isn't 100% yet. The Colts defense had no pass rush whatsoever. And I look at this game plan. I don't want to call him the greatest show on turf just yet. But when you got Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods and a tight end like Higbee, a deep threat like Van Jefferson, they didn't have to run the ball in the first half. They just opened it up. I love McVay's game plan in that first game, too. Throw, throw, throw. Second half, get Henderson involved and just run all over the opposition. I don't like the Colts at all. I don't think there's enough weapons for Wentz. I think their pass rush is garbage. And I have already bet the Rams -3.5 here, Joe Lisi.
Wow. Okay. You're coming right out of the gate. Now, I will say this on paper. I totally agree with you in terms of the LA Rams going up against the Colts. I have not been a lover of Carson Wentz in any capacity. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think he's severely overrated, especially at this point in his career. What I will say, and I brought up all week, is if I am concerned about one West Coast team traveling to the Midwest / East Coast, it is the Rams in this matchup because of the ability for Chicago to run the football with Montgomery, right? So if you look at Carson Wentz, you look at that offense last week against Russell Wilson and Seattle, right? They could not get into a rhythm. I think the game plan this week is let's ground and pound. Let's see if we can stay in manageable third downs. Let's see if we can attack the middle of that Rams defense, because if Chicago could do it with our offensive line, maybe we can sustain drives and keep Stafford on the sidelines.
How are they stopping Stafford, though, when he gets onto the field? again, you're not getting any pressure on this guy. It's going to take the most brilliant game plan in the history of the world in order for the Rams and their offense to just be stopped. So that's fine. You can keep them off the field as long as you want to. But when they're on the field, I look for Stafford to go deep again. Everything that I thought about him was proven correct with that arm strength, with the accuracy. There's just no way, Lisey. There's no way. Now, with all that right. being said, it's football, and we could come back here next Tuesday, and you can go, hey, ding dong, look what happened. You were completely wrong on this one.
Big shot, right? I'll be big shotting it all over the place.
I placed three bets so far this week, and one of them is this one.
Okay. Okay, I will say, out of the Colts and Panthers, I love the Panthers more. I think it's a ripe spot, especially with the situation with Hurricane Ida, and we know New Orleans displaced to a certain degree, right? Even though they are practicing at facilities, it's still not home in terms of that type of environment. Pressure on Carson Wentz, assuming that they do lose this game, right? He came here with a lot of fanfare. He came here with a lot of money tied to him, right? Potentially $41 million. If he goes 0-2 now, you think the pressure's on Frank Reich? Like, you lobbied for this guy. You wanted him as your signal caller. I mean, where do we go from that point?
I think you're two games in. If they lose this game, there's no reason for sheer panic yet. But you and I were on the other side of what Reich wanted. I just don't think that Carson Wentz is going to be able to get this job done. He's still not 100%. He needs to run more, and he makes bad decisions. And we saw it all too often in Philly, and I think we saw it with the Colts in week one, although no interceptions, which was nice to see.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll be diving into week two. It starts tonight between the Giants and Washington. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, Holden Kushner breaking down NFL action week number two. Big game tonight between Washington and New York. I mentioned Daniel Jones, 4-0. That's probably the only team he consistently beats is the Washington football team. He's 3.5-point underdogs on the road here in D.C., minus 122 on FanDuel. If you want to take a shot on Heineke and the crew, plus 100. Total set holding at 40 and a hook. Minus 115 to the over, which seems a little odd because we have a solid defense in Washington, right? Basically held L.A. and Justin Herbert to 20 points in that matchup, lost by four. And this is a Giant team that, dating back to last year, has played eight straight unders. So this line opened up, we talked about it, what, 42.5, 43? It's already down to 40.5. It's at a level where I want to put my toe in the water and take the over here.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So let me just throw a few things out there at you. You mentioned Daniel Jones. He could beat the Washington football team. He has eight NFL victories in his two-plus seasons
Isn't
now.
Isn't that incredible?
Four against Washington.
It's incredible.
The Giants, you just mentioned it. Last week, they hit the ninth consecutive game going under, dating back to the middle of last year. The Giants' offensive line, think about this, going up against this Washington defensive line. They allowed pressures on 11 of 34 dropbacks when the Broncos used four or fewer pass rushers. So that's not even counting a fifth pass rusher or linebacker coming up. A third of the dropbacks they allowed.
Chubb didn't even play last week, right?
Yeah, and again, four and three pass rushers a third of the time. They were allowing them to get in there. And then I also want to mention that the Washington football defense allowed the second fewest plays of 20 or more yards last year. So I think unless you've got Daniel Jones running for a big play. I just don't see too many from the Giants. With that being said, the whole 4-0 thing, I'm not a big trends guy, but Danny Dimes is 4-0. It kind of makes me want to stay away from the side. And an over in this game, how do they get to 41, 42 points? Please give me the path to that happening.
All right, he's a human turnover machine, right? Mm-hmm. He's like Andy Dalton. So you got to figure that he's at least good for one, two, at even three with that defense, right? We don't know. I mean, he's good for at least one. That could change the landscape of the game completely. And on the second side or flip side of that, I'm a believer in Heinicke, and I know a lot of people bash him. He didn't get the actual win against Tampa Bay, but he got the cover. He threw for basically 300 yards on that defense. He's a mobile guy. If it's not there, he is confident to tuck it and run. And here's the other factor. I know you covered Washington for years. You saw when he got in the game last year, Chase Young, those younger players buying in like, this is our quarterback. I like to see that from him. I like to see that the more key players on that team are buying into Taylor Heinicke as the leader of that offense. And that holds a lot for me. You know, that means that the defense, they'll play for four quarters, you know, for this kid. If he's going to give it 100% on the offensive side of the ball, the defense is not going to quit in any capacity. So I have to lead me to believe that there will be some points, even possible, you know, defensive turnovers and points in terms of a pick six.
Yeah, we get now, though, Heinicke comes in relief situations. He's been a reliever his whole career. He's played 9 games. He came in and started 1. So the Giants now know that they're playing Heinicke, and I wonder if they can come up with a good enough game plan to stop him. You mentioned the mobility. We've got 2 mobile quarterbacks tonight, and Heinicke does have the advantage here. He ran 3 times for 17 yards in relief last week after Fitzpatrick got hurt. 3 times for 17 yards. There was a lot of guys at my shop that were saying, go bet over 19.5. Bet over 19.5 rush yards.
No, I don't like I don't like that.
You don't like it?
No.
You don't like it. Tell me why.
No. Well, I'll tell you why. I think that when you watched the ball game last week with L.A., a very dominant pass rush front 7, right? They played a lot, from what I saw, a lot of man-to-man. I don't know if that's going to be the game plan with the Giants and Joe Judge. I don't know if they're going to go man-to-man in this ball game. I think they'll play a lot more zone. I'll keep that Washington offense in front of them, force them to methodically work down the field, which means that if he breaks contain, there's going to be defenders there. You're going to have an outside linebacker. You're going to have a nickel back maybe spying him in that capacity. So I'm not sold on just Heinicke ripping off, you know, 20, 25 yards in terms of the ground and in terms of that assessment. Can it happen? Yes. But I'm going to bank. I would say for me it's a no play in that regard. I do feel that there will be points. I like his passing prop more than I like his rushing prop, if that makes any sense.
That makes a lot of sense. And I like that you have pushback against that 19.5, because the number's now up around 22.5, 21.5, 22.5. That thing got steamed up. At what point would you take the under, if you even would?
I wouldn't. It wouldn't be an under for me. I mean, even though I don't think it could happen, to me, that's a no-play type of situation. I mean, all of a sudden, if I see him rip off a 15-yard run and it overextends in-game to maybe 38, 39, I would take a shot in that regard, maybe in-game. But not you know, just because it went from 19.5 to 22.5, I'm not so inclined to just jump on the under right here. Okay. I do feel because of the success of Bridgewater last week that they can get some yards with Logan Thomas. The way Fant was utilized in terms of mismatches, they're gonna look for Thomas. Thomas could have a big game tonight.
I think Thomas can have a big game any night that he gets the ball. Yeah, and here's the other guy I want to bring up, Cam Sims. I don't know if Rivera's gonna allow him to play. But if you go back and look at what Heinicke, who he targeted when he was on the field last year, Cam Sims was his guy. And I know you're a Cam Sims guy, too. And I'm a Cam Sims guy. Yeah,
he's not listed. He's not listed tonight, just an FYI. I know. But here's what they got. 48.5 for Thomas, 69 and a hook for Terry McLaurin, and De'Ami Brown, 32.5 for Washington. Those are light to me.
No? Yeah. I like that Terry McLaurin prop at 69.5. You know, even though I think this game is going to be a lower scoring game, Terry McLaurin is just lightning in a bottle, to use a nice cliche. And last week, he even had, what, 62 yards on four catches? I think he's more involved tonight, too. I think he gets more than four targets. I think he probably gets six or seven targets. And ultimately, that would be the lightest number that I see on the board right now. Maybe Gibson and then Darius Slayton. If you're taking a shot on Darius Slayton, you're just hoping that he gets chunk yards on one big play. And remember, Washington did a great job. They do a great job of limiting big-time plays. Explosive
plays. Yeah, 35 and a half for Slayton. I was on his total last week as well. As a matter of fact, all giant receivers, Slayton, Shepard, and Galladay, went over their total last week, believe it or not, even though they only scored 13 points with Danny Dimes at the helm, which is pretty amazing. Big picture, New York drops this game. They go to 0-2. Pressure on Dimes to get out of New York. I mean, he's clearly not the guy. He wasn't the guy when he was at Duke. I hate to say that. But, you know, now 0-2, if you can't beat a team that you're 4-0 against, the rumblings in New York are going to start to come, and they're going to come quick for Gettleman and the crew.
I mean, aren't they already there? They should have been there for a long time. I don't know what's – I just – Gettleman is just in a bad spot. At the time that he made the pick, he put his job on the line, and it was a bad pick. The Saquon Barkley pick, in retrospect, a bad pick. A lot of criticism at the time. He's just made some horrible moves, and Danny Dimes is the one that's going to cost him his job. The worst part about Jones, forget about the inaccuracy, is the turnovers in the red zone. Like, how often does this have to happen? It happens every single week. It just happened again. So
he's got 40 turnovers.
He's Dunsky.
Unbelievable. I agree with you, and we'll see. I mean, I still believe Joe Judge in the future, next year and beyond, can lead this team to the playoffs. When we come back, we'll be breaking down the other week two action in the NFL. Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner right here on the grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
Continuing the conversation of NFL week number two, we left off in terms of the big matchup in Washington, Giants and Taylor Heinicke. Going to turn our attention to the big battle in Tampa Bay. 12.5 point favorites for Tom Brady and the crew, minus 108 on FanDuel. Remember Atlanta? Remember Arthur Smith? Holden, the offensive guru, he was supposed to mismatch Kyle Pitts on multiple defenders where Kyle Pitts was putting up 2,000 receiving yards in a game. Matty Ice and the crew against one of the mediocre defenses in the NFL last year. The Philadelphia Eagles got a whopping 6 points, 25% on third down conversions. Couldn't run a stitch outside of Mike Davis and the 49 rushing yards that he put up last week. Did go over his total. But I think this is a blowout special. I mean, on the road, Tom Brady and the crew got pushed to the limit against the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott last Thursday. You get an extra 2 days of prep and one of the worst NFL defenses, actually the worst passing defense in the NFL last year, 293 per game in the Atlanta Falcons. If Jalen Hurts put up 264 last week, Tom Brady breaks out for 450 and three touchdowns.
450?
450. He chucks it. It's Godwin. It's Evans. It's the tight ends. Gronk. Everybody. Right. Rojo. Fournette gets involved. There's a blowout special.
Yeah, but you're getting ahead of yourself. Come on, 450 yards. He's not going to have to throw that much. Here's my favorite quote of the week from Dean Pease. This has nothing to do with Tom Brady. He was asked, he's the defensive coordinator for the Falcons. He was asked if someone was assigned to Jalen Hurts on every run. And he goes, I know it didn't look like it, but yes. I mean, it just shows you the dysfunction of this defense. They're devoid of talent. Obviously, they didn't execute the game plan. So what is Tom Brady going to do? Yeah, he's just going to pick them apart. Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, maybe they actually get Mike Evans involved this week. Rob Gronkowski. Think of all the weapons that Tom Brady has at his disposal. And we'll see if Rojo really does keep his job, if he still starts and he gets a large workload after the fumble last week. It seems like he's just the thorn in the side of Bruce Arians. They say, I think, a second-round pick. They just can't quit him. The Tampa Bay defense will probably maul Matt Ryan all over the place. I don't typically bet 12 and a halves. I mean, this has... But I don't know if this has backdoor cover special all over it. You're right. It's a blowout.
No.
Do I bet it now?
I'm telling you, I'm going to tease it. I'm going to bet it. Here's the thing. This offense looks pathetic to me, right? And didn't we – it was either you or George when we broke down this game when they played Atlanta, where Matty Ice came out to the media and said, you know, the offense might take until late October, November to get going with consistent. It's going to take what, 8 games, 9 games for you and the offensive playmakers to get on the same page? Are you kidding me? This is Arthur Smith. This is the guy everybody wanted. I mean, I believe, here's what I believe right here, right now. This game against Tampa Bay and Devin White in that front seven, this is the game where Atlanta Falcon fans are going to realize, instead of reaching up for Kyle Pitts, we should have taken Justin Fields at number 4. Because I don't even know if Matt Ryan makes it out of this ballgame.
It's definitely a bad, bad scene. You can bracket Calvin Ridley, and then what? You got to stop Pitts. He was not able to get the ball to Pitts very much last week. And then what are you worried about? Russell Gage? You worried about a running game? No, I'm not worried about that running game. You got a Plotter and Davis. So, yeah, offensively, the Falcons are a mess. Defensively, they're more of a mess. 12.5 is a huge number. But in order for the Bucs not to cover that, they'll have to have massive defensive breakdowns, and Tom Brady's probably going to have his worst game of the year. And I don't see both things happening, Lisey. I'm not running to the window to bet this game and to bet the Bucks, but I don't mind that little teaser. I'm not a big teaser guy. If I get that thing down to 6.5, how do you not bet that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any way you can't. Now, Atlanta has shown to step up against the better teams. They went toe-to-toe with Mahomes last year. Remember, they lost that matchup 17-14 on the road. They were in that ballgame from start to finish. But I have no confidence in the old man. He clearly looks like a battered quarterback at this point, Matt Ryan. Doesn't know where he wants to go with the football. I mean, Arthur Smith looked like a deer in the headlights. You had two first-year head coaches. Nick Sirianni, you have Arthur Smith. He was shaking in terms of his play sheet last week. I cannot back a coach like that from the gambling perspective in any capacity. The only thing I'm not sure about is we saw Prescott put up a ton of yards, right, in that matchup. They missed field goals, 51.5. Let's assume that we know Tampa Bay is going to get into the 30s, just the way the Eagles did, right? I mean, do we think that Atlanta's going to put up 14 on that defense? I don't think so.
It's possible, but I don't feel that confident about it. You think the game is an under? Here's my problem with that, though. Like, at some point in time, this turns into a blowout. If that's the game script we're predicting, then how is it maybe a backdoor cover for the Falcons? I know they might be getting their butts kicked, but they stay in there and they're facing a lot of backups. Maybe they can put a touchdown up late. So I don't want anything to do with the under here. You've convinced me to tease it. I think 6.5 is a way to do it, but that's about it.
Yeah, we'll see how that game plays out. That is a 4 o'clock kick in Tampa Bay this weekend. Also, check the weather. That's always a concern in Tampa. I have family over there. It always rains. If it is a wet track, that can be a way. Maybe Atlanta does keep it within the 12.5 point number, and then the game plan does change for Tom Brady and the crew. We'll see how it plays out. We'll get you updated on that game as we go through the week. How about this battle? L.A. 1-0 right now. Justin Herbert and the crew stepped up. Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, 17 receptions between both of those players against one of the top defenses in the NFL, right? Now here comes the Dallas Cowboys. No DeMarcus Lawrence. He's out for 6 to 8 weeks. Defense was the Achilles heel for much of the year last year. They're only catching 3.5 on the road to the Chargers in this ballgame. Back-to-back road games, you get an extra 2 days of prep. I'm going to take the Cowboys here. I still think a veteran team with a veteran quarterback, you're going to give me more than a field goal. I don't care. Give me the Cowboys minus Lawrence.
Yeah, completely disagree with you. I think the Cowboys are going to get their butts kicked all over the place.
Butts kicked? All right, let's see.
You have no way of pressuring Justin Herbert. You got no defensive ends. You got third and fourth stringers out there now. So good luck getting to Justin Herbert this week. Good luck giving this guy all the time in the world to just tear this Cowboys defense apart. Now, I think that the Cowboys are going to put some points up too. There's no question the Cowboys are going to put some points up. And I don't want to even bother with the total. This thing's been steamed up to the point to where I just want absolutely nothing to do with it. I think it's at 51.5
at
one point.
No, it's at 55.5 now.
Yeah, I know.
I was just going to bring that up to you. It's minus 110 either way. Two highest totals on the board are Dallas and Kansas City and Baltimore at the same number. Then you have the game we're going to cover next, Tennessee and Seattle at 54.5.
Yeah, I want nothing to do with the total now because it's up about 4 points. I mean, it's a little too late. If you want to get in on it, bet it live, Lisey. Bet it live. That's fine, then I missed the bet. I'm fine with that. I'm not scared to miss the bet because I'm already invested in this one. -3.5, -104 for the Chargers this week. Cowboys defensively are going to get eaten alive. Mike Williams is even saying, he's like, oh my gosh, you see Tampa Bay, those receivers looked like they were having fun. They can't stop the run. They can't stop the pass. The Chargers have one of the best offenses in the league. Now they have a competent coach. Justin Herbert actually ran the clock out last week. It's a game that the Chargers always used to lose. And I also think the Chargers have a top five defense. The Cowboys, get out of here with this, man. Get out of here with the Cowboys. Chargers -3 actually is what I got. So I was just looking at it. I got the Chargers -3. Would that change your opinion on this game? Or are you still backing the Cowboys? And I'm fine with 3.5. I just love my -3.
Yeah, no, I think you're good with that. I like the other side, actually. I just go with the more experienced quarterback in Dak Prescott. I understand there's some defensive concerns. What's the game plan for Dallas, right? Obviously, you have an explosive offense that, you know, they put up 20 points on Washington on the road. Now you're going to their place. You don't have one of your better defensive players in DeMarcus Lawrence. The running game was non-existent against Tampa Bay. Zeke had 33 yards. I think they rely on the running game. Now, I will say this. In terms of Dallas, right, in terms of how you approach it, maybe the running game is the way to go to keep Herbert on the sidelines, right? And if you're suggesting that Dallas is not going to get any rush, then you're just suggesting that Herbert has a field day, and then you lean to the over that much more. So I came up with this for us, okay? I feel really good about this. In terms of a three-leg teaser, we're gonna tease the Dallas over from 55 to 48.5, Tampa Bay from 12.5 to 5.5, and then I'm jumping on my Carolina Panthers with 10.5 points at home with the Saints in disarray after their week one win.
You're asking to get three things right at once, Lisey. I know. I like teasing down the Bucks. I like that idea a lot, but I'm not. It's just not my MO. I don't do many parlays. I don't do very many teasers. Same game parlays, not my thing. I'm just telling you right now, I'm looking at this game. Chargers -3 if you could still find it. 3.5 if you gotta. A lot of scoring, and I think the Chargers score a lot more than the Cowboys.
On FanDuel, -3.5 at -104 for the Chargers. When we come back, we'll be talking about the other games. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
Continuing the conversation of the Week 2 breakdowns, Joe Lisi, Holden Kushner right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204. Updated consensus from DraftKings, Holden, in terms of the Week 2 battles. I'm gonna tell you something in terms of the L.A. Rams game. According to DraftKings, 85% of the bets are on the L.A. Rams laying 3 in a hook right now on the road to Indianapolis. So that's something that you obviously have to be concerned about whenever mushes start to take a favorite or a dog. You always have to jump the other way. So that perks my ears up a little bit. 79% of the public, or the bets, on New Orleans over Carolina at 3.5. San Fran, 59 of the bets, 59%, which is, you know, a lot of public money coming in on Jalen Hurts and Philadelphia right now, which is sort of intriguing because, okay, they got the win as a 3.5-point dog, but it was Atlanta. It's not like this is Tampa Bay. You know, I was more impressed with Dallas losing a 2-point game to Tampa Bay on Thursday night than I was with Jalen Hurts ripping Matty Ice and the Atlanta Falcons with a first-year head coach as a 3.5-point dog. I mean, let's call it what it is, no?
Yeah, I'm with you. I wonder if I'm going to be just a chalk donkey this week because I got the Chargers and I like the Rams. So I'm a little concerned about that now as I'm looking back over my bets.
Let me give you the Chargers. Let me see what the Chargers are in terms of the breakdown here. They don't have it. I will say that 90%, and this is according to DraftKings, so it's just the percentage of bets. It's not actually the handle. Okay, handle's a little bit different. More money on a particular team, but 90% of the bets are on Buffalo here over Miami. I'm trying to get you the late games as well, but 77% of the bets also on the Patriots over the Jets, which is sort of intriguing when you think about it. You know, not a great performance by Mac Jones and the crew week one against Miami, no?
No, it was not. So we're talking a little late games here. Is that what we're getting into? Like I already told you, I like the Chargers. Happy I got in at 3. 3.5 is fine, too. We're just going to talk these late games. So let's start with it's not a late game, though. San Francisco and the Eagles. I love that Shanahan took his Niners across the country, and they've been working out in West Virginia this week. Absolutely love it. A little bit of elevation. Don't worry about the West Coast to East Coast thing. You got your clock. Everything's fine. Everything's good. You know, they probably started going to bed at 2 in the morning. Now they're at 11 o'clock at night. It's a little bit better. You're getting your sleep. And you made a great point here. It's like this is not the Atlanta Falcons defense. I think the Niners do a better job of containing Jalen Hurts. I don't know if you can really stop him, but you can contain him. The Eagles' run game had a ton of success last week. I could see the 49ers shutting that thing down. And how efficient was that Niners offense? Even though you would say, oh, a bunch of scrubs in the backfield, no Raheem Mostert, they're going to run a ton of dudes out at you. You know, they're going to run a ton of guys. Eli Mitchell, fine, he was good last week. I don't see them having a problem running. I don't see him having a problem passing. I don't see him having a problem defending the Eagles. So if we were talking about a road dog that we liked, I'm not pulling the trigger on Niners minus 3.5 because the
hook. Oh, you're not? No, I am. I feel confident about that. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't feel confident on. I do not feel confident on the Eagles. I like what they did week one. I'm not a big believer in terms of, I don't think it was solid defensive competition. Sirianni only coaching his second game. You got to give the coaching advantage to Shanahan, and you got to give the quarterback advantage. Let me ask you this about Jimmy Garoppolo. He showcased why he should have won the job. Now, I know it was Detroit, but he still played very well, very efficient. I think if we're looking at this offense as a whole, macro, big picture, Jimmy Garoppolo is your quarterback. I mean, you want to implement Trey Lance on the goal line the way he did to throw a touchdown, that's fine. But I think if you want a clear path to the playoffs and a potential Super Bowl, you got to stick with Jimmy Garoppolo at this point.
Well, we'll see how this plays out. Again, he had one nice game. It was against the Lions. We've seen him protect the ball and just be efficient, and that was enough for them to get to the Super Bowl. So that worked. For me to say that Garoppolo is going to keep this job just because he had a nice week one against the Lions, I'm not ready to buy into it. He could have another nice game this week too. And maybe, just maybe, my prediction that Trey Lance would be the starter by week four doesn't happen. I love the fact that they use Lance in those goal line packages. They use him in packages. They want to get him out on the field. So we've got another two quarterback system here. A quarterback that's not very mobile and a young quarterback that is mobile. Let's work him out. Let's get him in these games. Let's get a little bit of an advantage on the goal line. And they did that. I'm not buying into Jimmy G 100%. But he definitely got off on the right path.
He did. Now, a team that I think really has the gun to their head, so to speak, is Tennessee. You know, you did not expect Kyler Murray in that offense, even though they're explosive, to put up 38 and, more importantly, contain Derrick Henry, make your offense one-dimensional, put the pressure on the offensive line, put the pressure on Ryan Tannehill. Now they go on the road. They face the Indianapolis in a couple weeks. Both teams could be potentially 0-2, right? They're catching 5.5 on the road in Seattle. The 12th man will be in effect. You're a little shocked that this line is still low.
Yeah.
In terms of, I thought maybe 6.5. Just from the way they played to going all the way cross-country, this smells a little bit. I still like Seattle. I would take Seattle on the money line, minus the 255. Don't like the spread. But if you start 0-2 for Ryan Tannehill and Vrabel, pressure's on to step up after this game.
I will say this, that Arthur Smith is gone, and that offense looked like they were completely clueless. For some reason, what Ryan Tannehill does best is run play action. And they did not bother running play action last week. Was that a one-week thing, or are we changing this offense? Because if they're changing the offense, they're going to get their asses kicked early in the year. I really, truly believe that. And I don't know why you fundamentally change the one thing that Tannehill does better than just about anybody else in this league. Why did you cut down on the play action? So do they learn? Do we overreact to week one and say, oh, this is how it's going to be going forward? Or do they realize they need to get back to that to have any shot of beating the Seahawks? I'm with you. I think this is a point load. I'm not confident enough to bet it. I'm just not going to do it because I'm not sure what they're going to do with Tannehill. If you can get Tannehill out in space throwing to A.J. Brown and whoever the hell else they're going to throw to, Julio's obviously in the doghouse right now. Vrabel called him out publicly. But
you got Julio all the offseason, remember? All the talk?
He didn't practice. They asked Tannehill. about it. He's like, I've seen a lot of great things on tape. They didn't practice together. Vrabel called Julio out for a personal foul. I mean, and he just dogged him in front of everybody. He came to the media. He was pissed off too. So I don't think it's easy to stop Russell Wilson. My biggest question, though, and this is why I'm not going to back either team. My biggest question is, do the Titans adjust? And Derrick Henry on the road, that's a guy that I don't want to mess with on the road either because he can really shove it down your throat. Pass on this game. I agree with you that the line is about a point too low.
Well, think about this, and this is where I was going. You brought up Derrick Henry, right? At the start of the year, I mean, he rushed for 27 last year. His preseason total was in the area of about, what, 1569, which was almost 500 rushing yards less.
Mm-hmm.
So did the books incorporate the loss of Smith into that adjustment? Because that seems like a huge decrease, if you're asking me, with the extra game. Right? Why wasn't he up in the area of 16.5, 17? I mean, I understand you can't put him that high, but we're talking about a player that rushed for 2,000 yards last year. Now you're going to add an extra game, and now we reassess his rushing value at 1,500 plus? Seemed a little light to me. Now, to your point, if the offensive philosophy is going to change and we're going to spread him out because we got Julio, man. We got Julio. Remember all the all the offseason? Julio Jones. Oh, my God. We got him. Fantasy, everything. He's going to put up 64 points a week in fantasy with that offense. Yeah, I know. He might not even play 10 games. And then what? Then he's washed up. Almost like Le'Veon Bell is at this point.
Washed up? Yeah. Well, I mean,
I don't know. I'm just saying. He came here with a lot of hype. Right now, if he's in the doghouse with Vrabel and he all of a sudden now gets that stigma like nobody wants him, he could be almost like Antonio Brown. Might take him 2 or 3 years to get back with a program. Now, I mean, if he steps up, he goes and plays well this week, oh, yeah, all bets are off. But right now, he hasn't gotten off to an auspicious start in Nashville with Vrabel, who's a defensive guy anyway.
So as far as Julio goes, I mentioned that Tannehill had to reference what he saw on tape. I just don't think there's been enough time for those two to get on the right path. Julio's not been practicing, whether it be because of his injury or whatever the hell he had, or he's just came over and he says, I'm still not going to practice. I'm going to show up on Sundays. I'm going to do my thing. And that's the way things work. Don't be surprised if Julio still has a lot left in him. I'm not ready to call him washed, but could take a little while for this connection with Julio and Tannehill to start working out. And I also think they're going to miss Jonnu Smith a little bit offensively. Defensively, they got booed off the field. Boy, the more we're talking about these Titans, the more you're making me want to back the other side with the Seahawks. I'm not going to, but I'm talking myself on the Titans being bad this week. I have to remember, I'm not sold on the final product from last week because it seemed as though they changed the offense, and I wonder if that is going to be consistent, because if it is, the Titans are going to have a long year.
Well, after the injury to Quentin Nelson and Carson Wentz, they became the front runners in the division, right? They were a 9.5 win total. They were slightly juiced to the over. After their week one blowout loss to Kyler and the crew, you look on FanDuel right now, under and over, 8.5, minus 105 to the over now. So now the books already took a win off the preseason total, right? And now all of a sudden we're juiced to the under at 8.5, minus 115. So after one game, the whole identity of this team has changed, and the public perception of this team has changed.
It has. But again, we've seen 1 week. Let's let it play out a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I'm just to your point about perception. Well, Indianapolis now, if you want to take a shot on the over, 8.5, plus 125 with Carson Wentz and the crew. Now, when you look at the total in this game with Tennessee, right? I mean, if they're going to run the football, we know that they want to pound the rock with Chris Carson. Don't you believe that 54.5 is a high total for both running teams?
Yes, but here's the problem. That's a running team, but Russell Wilson is the most efficient passer I've ever seen in my life. My life. So
how
he can throw the ball.
Enough credit. Could he win an NFL MVP already?
I mean, last year we said that he was going to be there, and then everything fell apart once they wanted to let him, quote-unquote, cook. You know, we've been asking for it, and then it happened, and then it didn't work out that well. He took a step back. So the efficient Russell Wilson with 23 pass attempts, he could do as much damage as just about anyone else in the league, but I would be absolutely floored if Seattle lost this game.
Me too. Now they're 5.5-point favorites on FanDuel, minus 118. When we come back, we'll be wrapping it up. Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
Wrapping up today's show, Holden and I are not going to be here for the rest of the week, so we're going to give our best bets, at least early part now. I'm going to go with Carolina, +3.5, Holden. That's my best bet of the weekend. Again, I know Jameis stepped up, 5 touchdown passes, but they're displaced from Hurricane Ida. I know they're at a facility close to this ball game in Carolina, but I think that factors into this handicap a little bit. And Carolina, to me, an under-the-radar team this year, going to roll the dice with Sam Darnold and the crew.
Oh, I like it. I like it a lot. Here's mine for the Thursday night game. Saquon under 49.5 rush yards. I can't believe this got steamed up from 48.5. Maybe people are thinking, oh, Saquon's back. 4 days of rest, swollen knee, 10 carries last week. Let's say he even gets 13. He averaged 2.6 yards per carry. He's going up against a better defensive line. So forget about it. Barkley under 49.5 rushing yards tonight. I feel strongly about that. I told you about the Chargers -3 and then the Rams -3.5. Blowout City on the road, back in the Rams. They filled my narrative last week. Everything I wanted to see out of them happened. So there you go, pal.
All right, so we'll see what transpires next week in terms of the week three action. But I think if there's one team that can ill afford to start 0-2, I think it is in the Indianapolis Colts and Carson Wentz. With so much uncertainty, if they get blown out, to your point, against Matt Stafford and the L.A. Rams, there's going to be a lot of people questioning why did this organization go for a quarterback that could potentially be washed up. And they're really going to have to look themselves in the mirror, especially when they had Jacob Eason waiting in the wings. I mean, at this point, if they lose this game, do you turn to Eason and say, give it a shot, kid? You maybe give us an opportunity to win some ball games?
No, just stick with Wentz. That's all.
You want them to lose. You want them to lose. Well,
I do.
We'll be here.
I do.
We're here all week. We'll see you tomorrow for Holden Kushner and our great producer, Andrew Torres. I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.